I really do want to thank you guys for being here. I know there's other things you could do on a Friday night. And so a lot of pressure. I feel a lot of pressure sometimes to make it worthwhile. But it's not really about me making it worthwhile. This is an amazing night to celebrate. And I know it's Good Friday. I like to call it, I wrote down there, Good For Us Friday. Because, man, this is just an amazing thing that Jesus did for us. And it's just incredible. So I'm going to get moving on. We're going to have communion a little bit later. And I know there's some guys ready to do communion. And Larry, you're going to be over there, right? And some of you guys, I'll let you know when we're going to do that. So you can just relax and until we do that. And we'll take communion. But Sunday, we took a tour of the end of Matthew, the last 5-6 days of Jesus' life. And we left off when Jesus was being anointed by probably Mary Magdalene, when he was anointing his feet with the alabaster jar of really expensive oil and stuff like that. And the cool thing about that was, Jesus kept saying, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. And we're going to be turned over. Someone's going to betray me. I'm going to be turned over to the people. They're going to put me on trial. They're going to crucify me. They're going to kill me. And 3 days later, I'm going to rise again. He said this 3 or 4 recorded times, a lot towards the end. And no one still listened except one person. That one woman that listened and was preparing him with that oil for burial. And that just had to feel good if you were Jesus, you know? So finally, I wonder about that sometimes after I'm done on a Sunday morning. Did anybody even hear what I said? Yes. Yeah, thank you. Okay, you did. I do want to say something on that line, so I was going to say it when I got up here. I just really appreciate you guys being here. I really do. I started down that path and I forgot to say that. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being part. You guys that are part of this church, thank you so much for being part of this church. I just love it. We face little bumps once in a while, but in 7 years we've had little bumps. And I just really appreciate the unity. And when we talk about unity, which we did a couple weeks ago, it's like... You guys do an amazing job with that. Thank you for being part of this church. I just love it here. I love you guys here. But so Jesus is, finally someone was listening to him. And then we went through that. And then the very next thing that happens in Matthew 26 is Judas sells out Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. $450 he sells Jesus out, for that. And so then he goes and just sets up this whole betrayal thing and everything. And then they move into the Last Supper. They go with the Last Supper. That was what was when Judas left. So the Last Supper, Matthew 26, 17 to 30. I want to read this, and we're going to read this something like this again at the end. But while they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat, this is my body. Okay, then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it. You probably are starting to salivate already, aren't you? Because the only time we really read this is during communion, when you're getting ready, So if I spit while I'm reading this passage, it's only because there's not. Anyway. So he said, take and eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. And he says in there, and I never really have time during communion to explain this well, just an awesome thing. This is the blood of the covenant, okay? Or some of the passages say, this is the blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Now, the idea of a covenant was a promise. In the Old Testament, God made a promise, a covenant with his people. And he said, if you do this and this and this, and he brought up the whole sacrificial system, okay? You need to sacrifice. And if you sin, then you need to sacrifice something innocent, because the soul that sins, it will die. And something innocent, the blood of something innocent had to die to cover up that sins. Didn't take it away, but to cover up that sins. And so that was the Old Testament covenant. And now in the Old Testament, you were saved the same way in the New Testament, by obedience, or by believing in God's way, by obedience to Jesus Christ. But it was obedience to the law, and that your sins were covered. Now Jesus is getting ready to start a whole new amazing event that Abby and the girls were singing about up here. Jesus is about ready to start to make a new covenant with the people, a new promise with the people. And it was just incredible. Now, the new covenant was in the New Testament. You're saved by obedience, by believing in God's way. But the only difference with this new covenant is now Your sins were not just covered over. See, your sins were covered over and God would consider you okay. Your sins were covered over because you were looking forward to someday when there was going to be a new covenant. Because if your sins are just covered over, you still can't get to heaven. You're still not pleasing to God until your sins are taken away. And so Jesus comes, he said, we're about to do something really cool. Okay, and he says before in some of these other passages, I've been anxious to take this with you. I've been anxious to literally go to the cross because what I'm about to do for you guys is incredible. Now, I'm going to stop and say one more thing that I wanted to say in the beginning. This is not a fairy tale. This is truth. Every single word in the Bible is true as it is written. It will never be proven wrong. Even people try to distort it. It is truth. So what we're talking about here is literal truth. Jesus says, I'm going to, being God, I'm going to make a new covenant with you guys. And the new covenant is that you don't need to keep sacrificing. We'll talk about that at the sunrise service tomorrow. You don't need to keep sacrificing. But the new covenant doesn't just cover up your sins. It takes them away. It literally takes away the sins of the world. And that's why Jesus is excited about it. So this is the blood of my covenant, which is poured out for many, for the forgiveness of the sins, the remission, the taking away of sins. Doesn't change how you're saved. You're still changed by believing in God's way, obedience to God. But now instead of our sins being covered over, they're taken away. It's interesting. Hebrews 10, 8 to 10, talks a little bit about the old covenant and the new covenant. In Hebrews 10, 8 to 10, it says, first he said, sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings, you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them. It's interesting. It goes back and it says, God wasn't really pleased with sacrifices and offering and burnt offerings. That's not really what pleased God, okay? But though they were offered in accordance with the law, it was according to the law, but it's not really what God wanted. It's not what he intended. Though they were offered according to the law, then he said, Jesus, here I am. I have come to do your will, he says to God. And he sets aside the first covenant to establish the second. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. And that's what's happening on this Good for Us Friday evening 2,000 or more years ago. Jesus is not setting aside. He's fulfilling it. And he says, I'm going to lay down my life and I'm going to make a sacrifice once and for all through my body. Jesus Christ, being God, being 100% God, 100% man, was perfect. And he said, he became the sacrificial lamb for us that night. And Hebrews, it goes on to say, Hebrews 10, 11 to 14, day after day, and this was the old system. Oh, it must have been a real pain. I would not have wanted to have been a priest back then. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties again and again. He offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. The old covenant couldn't take away sins, okay? But when this priest, Jesus Christ, had offered for all time, one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, and since that time he waits for his enemies to make his footstool. Listen to this last sentence. For by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. For by one sacrifice, man, I would have hated to be a priest, be killing things all the time. You know? And shedding the blood and doing all these rituals just again and again and again and again. And he had to wear robes. I don't even like wearing ties. You know? And it's just again and again and again. Jesus says, now, the new covenant is by one sacrifice, by my body, by my sacrifice. I'm going to make a sacrifice once and for all, he said. And by that will we have been made holy through the for by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Now what God says, if you believe in my way, you don't have to continue to sacrifice. If you believe in my way, if you believe that Jesus died, that he sacrificed his body once and for all, you have been made holy, you have been made perfect forever those who are being made holy. See, that's way better than having my sins covered over. God literally, when I believe in God, his sacrifice was so sufficient that when I believe in his way and say, God, I believe that you died for me. I believe that you were buried and rose again. I believe that you sacrificed yourself for me. At that moment, I am made perfect forever. And ask my wife. She'll tell you I am. I am just amazing. Okay? I am made perfect in God's sight forever. That's what he says here, and he puts me in here. For one by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy, okay? I'm on the process of living up to what's already happened to me. God views me as perfect forever. I'm not there yet, but he views me that way. He doesn't see my sin anymore. He doesn't like when I sin, and he made me perfect, but I am now in a process of getting ready to go to heaven. Hopefully, as a believer, we are getting better and better and better, but we don't have to worry if we're not perfect. I'm already considered perfect in God's sight. It's just incredible to me. It's incredible to me that God would actually do this for me, for us, that this is what this whole night was made for. So communion is a reminder of the God that sacrificed himself for me. That's all communion is. When we take communion a little bit later on, it's just saying, God, I'm going to remember through the bread that you sacrificed your body for me. I'm going to remember through the blood that it was the shedding of blood that took away my sins, the shedding of innocent blood. So when we do that, it doesn't become his body. It doesn't become blood. It's just a symbol. So communion is just a reminder of that one sacrifice that made me perfect forever and takes away my sins. So that's what he did in the upper room. He introduced us to him. What a cool thing. And then, moving on, you have the prediction of Peter's denial. You have Gethsemane. Jesus is arrested. Jesus' trial. I'm going through this really fast, man. We're almost to the crucifixion rate. Peter disowns Jesus, and Judas hangs himself. Okay, and then a really interesting thing happens that I've never really talked about much. Jesus goes to Pilate. Okay, really interesting thing. And let me read this to you. Matthew 27:11-26. Meanwhile, Jesus stood before the governor. The Jewish leaders found him guilty and were trying to sentence him to be killed, but they couldn't kill him. They weren't allowed to kill people to death. They weren't allowed to sentence people to death. They weren't allowed to pronounce the death penalty, so they had to take him to the Roman government. And so here he is. Meanwhile, Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus said, "You have said so," Jesus replied. And when he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate asked him, "Don't you hear the testimony they're bringing against you?" But Jesus made no reply, not even a single charge, to the great amazement of the governor. Usually if someone would bring charges against you, especially if they were false, you would defend yourself. And you would stand up and defend yourself. Jesus didn't even defend himself. Did he not hear? He didn't even defend himself. He just let him, and he could have probably done a pretty good job at it, right? Because you ever try arguing with Jesus, all the people tried arguing with Jesus all the time, and they were just shut down. You know, and he would answer a question, they couldn't respond back. He could have defended himself ridiculously, amazingly. But he didn't even answer, and Pilate's like, "You got to be kidding." Now it was the governor's custom at the festival to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. At that time, they had a well-known prisoner whose name was Barabbas. So when the crowd... Does that say Jesus Barabbas? I copied that right out of my Bible. Was Barabbas' first name Jesus? Jesus Barabbas? So I just crossed it out in my notes. I don't know. I didn't have time to look it up. I guess I did have time. I just didn't. I just crossed it out, you know? Because I always just heard him called Barabbas. But anyway, so I'm not going to say Jesus. But anyway, because it's... anyway, so... Where am I at? At that time, they had a well-known prisoner whose name was Barabbas. So when the crowd had gathered, Jesus asked them, which one do you want me to release to you? Barabbas or Jesus, who was called the Messiah? For he knew it was out of self-interest that they had handed Jesus over to him. And while Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him this message, "Don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed. "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" asked the governor. "Barabbas," they answered. "Then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called the Messiah?" Pilate asked. They all answered, "Crucify him." "Why? What crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him!" And when Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting, he took He took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. I am innocent of this man's blood, he said. It is your responsibility. And all the people answered, his blood be on us and our children. Then he released Barabbas to them, but he had Jesus flogged and handed over to be crucified. Interesting this character of Barabbas. And I always wonder why Jesus didn't defend himself. Anybody want to guess why he didn't defend himself? Because he could have? My closest guess is because, I think it's a pretty close guess, he wanted to die for me. He could have defended himself. And he said, whatever I say, I can say truth in such a way that they'll fully understand. And if I attempt that, then I won't be able to die for Bob Kensinger. I won't be able to be that once for all sacrifice. And that's why I came. And so he was silent. And he didn't defend himself. That's my guess. I would think Barabbas, it was his lucky day. You know what I mean? I'll bet he was like, oh no, my time's up. And he gets out there and they chose Jesus. And he's like, whoa, baby, that's all right. You know, it had to be pretty good to be, because he was going to die. He was a murderer. It had to be, feel pretty good to be Barabbas on that day if he believed in luck. That's an awesome thing. But you got to understand something. Barabbas deserved death. Jesus did not deserve death. Jesus deserved life. And we had a chance to defend himself. He didn't. Barabbas is the one that should have gone to the cross. Jesus deserved life. But there's something that Jesus knew. There's something that Jesus knew. And this is not original with me. You'll see that because we're just going to show you a little video clip here. Jesus knew, I love this statement, Jesus knew that the Father would have to treat Jesus like Barabbas so that he could treat Barabbas like Jesus. See, Jesus was here doing his Father's will, and he knew that he defended himself. Then this new covenant could not be enacted, and he knew that he had to be treated like Barabbas, what Barabbas deserved. He had to be treated like that. So that when he rose again, Barabbas would be treated like Jesus. It's just an amazing thing. I'll be back up in a minute. Watch this. That's probably one of the better explanations of something to do before communion that I've heard in a long time. So you guys are going to help us take communion, why don't you? Let's get that started. So, and what they're going to do, I think we're going to try something different tonight. They're going to give you the bread and the juice at the same time. So I'm going to test it. But I'll tell you what, while they're passing this out, I just want you to take it and hold on to it. And as you're holding that, I want you to understand that this is for you. And they didn't take his life. He gave it willingly. And I just listened to that a whole bunch of times. And it's just amazing to me. What I'd like to do while they're passing it out, I want to read you a passage of scripture while they're going. And this is Isaiah chapter 53. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, like a root out of dry ground. Speaking of Jesus, he had no beauty or no majesty to attract us to him. One of the things that once you get the elements here, just kind of close your eyes and just listen to the words, and you know what? If you're still trying to be good enough on your own, trying to go to the cross for yourself, it's not going to work. And just be best to just thank Jesus that he did it for you. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, just be a good time to say, God, I believe the new covenant. But Jesus had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. And like one from whom people hid their faces, he was despised and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our sufferings. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And the punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we were healed. And all we like sheep have gone astray. And each of us has turned to our own way. And the Lord laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living for the transgressions of my people. He was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. And after he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors. I think that spoken word about Barabbas, I think Jesus calls out to us honestly. And says, do you believe? Do you believe that Jesus did this and he bore this for us? And I think at the least in our hearts we should just praise God. Knowing that this isn't a fairy tale, knowing that this is truth, we should just praise God and say, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. And if by some chance you're here and you've never really for the first time ever said, God, I believe that you died for me. I believe I've been trying to be good enough, but I can't be good enough. I've been trying to live up to the law. And Jesus scrapped the law, basically. And he says, I will be the sacrifice for your sins. And so that's what communion is about. It's about us saying, God, I thank you for this. I thank you that you laid down your life for me. So the Bible says in Luke, when the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. And he said this to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you. That's just, every time I see that, he eagerly desired to set Barabbas free. Because he knew his father would treat him like Barabbas. And me, he knew that because Jesus was treated like Barabbas, I would be treated like Jesus. Like what Jesus deserved. So the hour came, Jesus' apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. So So after taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you, for I tell you, I will not drink from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread, and he gave thanks, and he broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, this is a representative of my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Lord, I thank you that you desired to set me free. And even if I never respond back to you, you still desired to set me free. Thank you that you gave your body as a living sacrifice. And then after that, he took the cup, just grape juice or wine or whatever he used. He took the cup. After supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. The new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. As often as you drink it, remember me. This is a good for us Friday, because if it wouldn't been for this, we would be the ones that had to be treated like Barabbas. And I'm really, honestly, I'm thankful for that, because I don't even come close to being perfect. I'm so thankful for this. Do you want to stand? Let's stand and sing before we go.
We're going to sing one last song together before we go home, and this one is called At the Cross. So many good thoughts in this song. I especially love the bridge that says, you tore the veil, you made a way when you said that it is done. Let's sing this song together.
That song has one, if you don't mind, give me another half hour. Song has the phrase in it, you tore the veil. The moment Jesus Christ sacrificed his life, the moment he died for me, something in the Holy of the Holies, in the temple where they worship God, God dwelled in the Ark of the Covenant, in the holiest of holy places in the temple. There was a huge, thick veil in front of the Holy of Holies. Once a year, the high priest could walk behind that and sprinkle the blood of an animal on the Ark of the Covenant, and God was satisfied that sins were covered. They had to tie ropes to his ankles or his wrist or something in case he died, because if his sins weren't perfectly covered, he would die and they'd drag him out. No one could go back there. When Jesus died on the cross, the moment he died on the cross, the veil was torn from the top to the bottom. And he opened up the Holy of Holies to every single person. Every believer has the right to go into, and Hebrews tells us, into the very presence of God because of that once for all sacrifice which made perfect those who believed. Now every believer in Christ is considered perfect by God to be able to walk into the holy, holy of God. And the Bible says we can now boldly approach the throne of God. What a great song, and what a great thing. This is an awesome night for us. This is a really, really good for us Friday. I'm telling you what, it is awesome. Lord Jesus, thank you for what you did. Thank you for your sacrifice that changed everything. We are still pretty nasty people, but you forgave us fully. What a great thing. You're an amazing God. Thank you that we can worship you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.